Previously on Half Party.
Last time on
Half Party is here to remind you to get caught up in the world you live. I'm not here to remind you of the fucked up shit that you did to me that we edited out. Half Party! We are angry wild stallions.
Professionals.
Last time on Half Party, Medic and Solo came back from defrosting the cursed city. We checked in on Tootsie and Merrick's lovable little hellhound, Tim. Tim's his name. If you didn't catch it in any previous episode, the only name that this hellhound goes by is Tim. We also got Tootsie a job, and he's learning from Nilrak's cousin, Threk, down in the swamps. And, we went to the mailroom. I forgot it was the mailroom. We got invited to a dinner party. So, Obs, we had to get some new digs, if you will, and we did. And now we're going to the dinner party, and we look fly.
Uno, dos, tres, cuatro,
I think we should just cue the music.
Sure.
Sure, do it.
Sweet.
Everybody, welcome to Half Party. My name is Bjorn Falk. With me, as always, I have Daniel Diagnov.
Yeah, I guess I'm here.
And Justin Smith.
Hi.
And welcome back to yet another wonderful, good time
half
family
party,
band
party,
solution episode
like
of Half Party.
Half yes. Party, get caught up in the...
You can't do it again. There's only we've run out of.
We
our
haven't
allotment.
Done that in a long time.
We have
it's,
to,
it's been a
we
while.
We have to pay out.
We're
we
giving the people what they want.
We're paying us out.
I know. It's very
I
expensive.
I paid a governmental fee today with nickels to stick it to him.
That's a bold move.
It was $2, so it's like 40 nickels.
That's a lot. I mean, that's a substantial amount.
I had
of
a nickel in one
weight.
Hand for him. I got Jack Johnson right here.
Mm-hmm.
Bobby O'Shea over here.
Did you say Jack Johnson?
Yeah.
So it's a very chill, like, fist? Is that what? Like,
no, it's an Irish boxer.
Let me write that down. Let me write down Jack Johnson intro for next week. Get my
good. Very excited.
I had to, it's, you know, now I've set up a thing. It's like, I got to come up.
A beach party Jack Johnson style intro. I like it. Where we left it off was on a dark and stormy night.
Dark and stormy.
With a large mansion looming in front of you as you walked up to the
three
giant dark wood doors with the huge
knockers.
And knocked.
Well, I have to...
Medic!
I'm going to lift you up. I'm going to lift him up.
Wait, what are you lifting me up? Medic, we
so
already
you
knocked
can
it.
Play with the knocker.
Okay. I'll bring
you.
The knocker again. Should I do an accent when they come to the door?
Oh. We should have
should
talked
we
about
be
this
different?
Before you did the knocker.
I know.
Who knows
just
what's
going to
happen
knocker.
Now?
I don't think they're coming, Merrick.
Well, I mean...
And from the door, as soon as you began knocking, you hear...
Ah!
Which if...
Oh, God.
If you know anything about sounds...
What's that?
Can you describe that? Was that
scream?
Terrified? Or was that...
It was a, like...
Kool-Aid?
A pretty graphic
Kool-Aid spill?
Female scream, obviously, if you could not tell from my beautiful
does it happen a
voice acting.
Does it happen a second time?
No, it was one and done.
Just one and done?
It just happened once.
Can
I mean,
do
a
history check?
Oh, don't worry. We have that bite that's now going to be every time Bjorn texts me. It's going to be... like, we'll put that... Actually, viewers, if you would like that, send an email to...
I don't, we can give it to you. You set it up as your text alert.
Cast,
I'm
going to
email you. I want that. All right. I won't do a history check to try to remember what it sounds like.
Okay.
Just
you can
kidding.
Knock again, though, because no one has
wait,
come
wait,
to the
wait,
door.
I did roll a natural 20, though. So if you wouldn't mind.
A bip, 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 bip.
That's what it sounded like,
that's
Manic.
Good.
There's a graphic screen going on behind the door.
That's what I thought I heard, too.
I'm going to try to push the door, then.
Wait, I thought we were going to... Are we going to...
Manic, somebody's screaming graphically. But now there's dogs barking.
There's dogs.
Do we want to maybe, like, think of it? Fine, let's go.
Would you... No. We can wait, And I put my arms against the door so he can't go in.
You're barring the entry to this new place.
No, it's fine. We're hashing this out now. Do you want to be someone different?
Yes, but aren't they expecting Solo and Manic?
You got me on that one, and it's very surprising when you do. But you're fucking right. Let's go.
So do I try a different accent, though, and say that I'm Solo?
You could try whatever accent you want, because honestly, there is no character continuity that you do every week. And that's Justin just giving you a truly honest note.
I push the door.
You push the door and you feel a very strong resistance. This door
wants to be pulled.
Opens, it's a pull door.
I pull the door.
You pull on the door and you still feel a very strong resistance. A little bit of give this time, but it is clearly locked.
Eric,
what?
Don't you know how to like put?
Oh right, little things in the. I haven't done any of that in a long time. I'd like to do a. I'd like to inspect for traps first.
What, Manic, okay. Why would they trap the front door?
Did you just hear a distressed female screaming?
No, I heard a graphic scream. I'm not sure if it's distressed or not.
It sounded okay, so is that a perception or investigation? We haven't done this
investigation,
in a long
please.
Time. That's a 26.
Yeah. 26, and you look around. It seems to be very simple, straight up door. You should have no issue busting into this.
Thieves' tools are that. So that means we're at a 15.
Okay. You settle in, you bust out the tools, you got one in your teeth there, and you
hold
set
the
them in
light.
There, and you fit
just
the other one in there. And just as you turn it, you feel the door push towards you.
Oh,
and,
no!
In the doorway, you see a half-orc standing there with this massive beard coming down off of his chin, thinning dark hair, or thinning white hair on the top of his head, and a full-on tux with a small arm towel thing draped over his arm. You know, like a waiter would use?
Is he like a
butler? Classy person?
Is he like a manservant?
Yes, very much the manservant role. And he goes, excuse me.
Oh, sorry.
Who are you?
I'm Solo de Hillthorpe.
Wonderful to meet you, sir. Please come in out of the rain.
This is Merrick.
Hi, I'm Merrick.
Hello, Merrick. And he reaches out to shake your hand as well.
I look at Merrick. I thought we were doing accents.
Gotcha.
I have a cold, but it's gonna go away.
Oh, I'm terribly sorry to hear that. May I please see your invitation?
I pull out the invitation.
And he takes it from you and he looks it over. Oh, yes, quite. Very good. Very, very good. Thank you very much. And he taps it back into his...
Can I have that, actually?
Oh, yes, of course.
I'm a big scrapbooker.
Souvenir.
I'm a big scrapbooker.
Of course, you, of course, are the first to arrive. Your gracious host. I'm sorry.
What was your name, sir?
Oh, Clithby.
Clithby.
What?
Clithby. Clithby.
How do you spell that?
C-L-I-V-B-Y. Clithby.
Don't make assumptions, Merrick. It's whatever year it is right now.
Where is the T-H?
There's a Clithby.
Yeah, he's Clithby.
Clithby?
Clithby.
Clithby.
Fine.
Clithby. C-L-T-H-B-Y.
How about we just call him?
C-L-T-H-B-Y. Thank you, Clithby.
C-L-T-H-B-Y.
That's
where's
a
your accent go?
Who's your mother?
I was just trying as a DM. I was dropping the beautiful tour de force performance that I had been
masterful,
nailing 100%.
I was gonna say
spot on,
bestowing upon you.
Oh yeah, not just killing it, but bestowing it.
Hey,
exactly.
Hey,
I'm just
my creative narrative. Like my world was shattered just then. Can we get
sorry.
Back?
See,
in?
I had
can
to...
we get back into it? I mean, it's spelling.
Yes, of course we can. Of course. And Clithby takes the
so
towel
much.
From his arm and begins to dab off your shoulders a little bit. And he goes to do the top hats.
No, don't do that.
Yeah,
these are new.
Sorry, it's a force of habit. Sorry, masters.
Actually,
please,
allow us, and we take off our hats because we're gentlemen.
Oh,
mine just disappears because it's no longer part of the outfit.
And I'm sorry, my eyes are pretty terrible. I can't quite see if you've got jackets on.
Robes. We've got robes.
Robes, of course, of course. Yes. May I take those for you, or would you prefer to keep them?
Do you want him to take your robe?
Well, I'm not wearing anything underneath it. It's part of the ensemble, actually.
Roll a perception check for me, both of you.
Not as good.
Okay. Okay.
11.
Okay.
Nope. 9.
Mine is a mod 19. It's a 19.
Okay.
Nueve.
And for Merrick?
Nueve.
Nueve. So we have Clithby here, and he seems to be extremely well put together. Very formal, very fancy.
Like jacked.
And
no, like well-dressed, not muscular.
Oh, right. Okay. Old man.
Old man.
A little hunched.
Got it.
Yeah.
Not CrossFit.
No. And you see the trappings of this hallway are pretty much of that caliber. Beautiful long rug leading up to a grand staircase at the far end of the hallway. To the left and right, you can see one appears to be like a nice like morning room where you have this beautiful couch and sofa and this big coffee tables in front of them with these massive heavy books that are beautifully ornately designed and decorated. These large chandelier hangs over the entryway here. To your left, you see what I believe you would call a drawing room with a easel, and it appears to be some stands for some instruments, some books of sheet music. And quite a few other fine trappings. What you do see around here is really, really high caliber, well made. This is a beautiful, beautiful mansion. And Clivey seems to fit every inch of that.
Wow. Yeah.
That same stature. What you do notice is that Clivey also, his breath is a little alcoholic.
Oh.
Yes.
And because our viewers would actually want to know, what kind of alcohol?
With a 19, you're not sure.
With a 19, I'm not sure.
I thought the 9 wouldn't know. I mean, jeez. A 9's like, hey, you this place's no pretty idea. Fancy as fuck.
You have no idea what this...
Clearly, if you don't mind me asking, yes. Because I'm a connoisseur...
Of course.
What is that I smell? What is that scintillating smell of liqueur?
And you notice he immediately backs away from you, visibly and physically.
I'm assuming it's coming from down the hall, Clithby.
So yes, we have dinner preparing down the hall, and that must be the aroma that is wafting to your nostrils, of course. Since you're the first here, please feel free to enjoy the rooms and explore as much as you would like. There'll be a few others joining us, and then, of course, your host will come and greet everyone.
Clivby, you didn't mention our host's name.
He's asked me to keep that a secret until he reveals himself.
Oh,
it's a bit
so
of the
cool.
game he enjoys playing.
Oh, man,
roll another perception check.
19 again.
On fire.
I'm killing it.
You're killing
it. 13 here.
Getting there. But even with your 13, you do notice Clithby kind of rolls his eyes a little bit at the mention of a game. You get the feeling that Clithby enjoys the very formal pomp and circumstance of a nice dinner party and is not too thrilled about this game that his employer likes to play.
He says, well, I must be going and tending to some of the food that we'll be eating shortly. And is there any drinks that you would like this evening?
Clithby?
Yes, of course.
If you had to take a look at me... Right now, and you see how fabulous I look. What kind of drink do you think should be in my hand? Because I want that.
Of course, of course. I can definitely see you with an orange fizz.
Aye, that sounds perfect.
Yes, and for you, Mr. Merrick.
I'd like an elven gin with just a rim kick of vermouth and a twist of lime. And
hold the olives, of course.
No, please leave the garnish. That's fine.
Very well, very well. We'll be back in just a second. And
as he turns around to leave, you hear one knock and then, and then two more knocks like right after it. And as you spin around to see what just happened, give me another perception check.
I think I put it together.
Okay. Okay. That's a 22.
Oh, damn.
I'm getting spicy.
Yeah. Heating up. Wasting the good ones early.
It's a formal party. I'm on my A game.
You are on your A game. You're ready. Merrick, what do you got?
I just got an 8, but I think Merrick put it together without the dice roll.
Feast or famine. I like it. The sound obviously came from right above the doorway, where there's this beautiful gargoyle it screams, and it helps to amplify the sound in this massive mansion. You'd imagine that they would have a hard time hearing anybody knocking at the door. So that scream is what alerts Clithby. Oh. And you see, as the scream came out, Clithby winces and jolts a little bit as the scream happens, and he turns to go answer the door. He reaches forward and swings it open.
As he does that, and his back is turned, I use my word hotness, and I am now in a top-of-the-line tux.
Just complete costume change while I turned around.
I'm double taking and very taken aback.
Like, not in like that, and the hair's real back, and the 5 o'clock what? Shadow is real low. Like,
Merrick,
it's
what?
It's fine. It's
beautifully
very, it's
done.
Well done.
You do me dirty like that, Merrick.
And as the door opens up, you see what appears to be a man in a leather.
Ooh.
We'll call it I believe it's a Canadian tuxedo with the full-on jean jacket and pants. With a leather vest.
Are we talking underneath. Like circa Justin Timberlake?
Like Justin Timberlake, but plus leather vest.
Okay.
Yeah, real...
Dang, that's hot.
Niche, like a very much a Dan... people named Dan are attracted to that kind of thing. Yeah.
Hey.
And this guy leans in. I'm sorry, he's a dwarf.
Oh.
He's got this big, long, ZZ Top style, bushy beard. And he's just... Oh, how could it be? How you doing? Let's go on. I hear for the part, Eddie and Clivy. Oh, yes, quite very, very good, Mr. Oppeljaw. Once again, excellent to see you. Please come in, and I will take that. And you see as Mr. Oppeljaw begins to walk into this mansion, he has a large stein of some form of drink that you're not 100% sure what's in it, but you can smell its very high alcohol content. And he begins to trip and drop his mug, and Clithby catches it as he does so. And apparently Clithby knows this man pretty well. And Clithby kind of ushers him in. Can I take your jacket? And just walks off. As this man, Mr. Oppeljaw, is lying on the floor in front of you.
Oh, he's laying on the ground.
Yeah, he kind of took a tumble coming in that door.
Is he dead, medic?
I'd like to pick his pockets.
Go for it.
All right. So that sleight of hand. So that's a 15.
Okay. And he's being very drunk. Disadvantage on that check. He's lying there face down, and at no point does he even make any movement as though he noticed you going through his pockets. Are you taking everything, or are you going to pick some stuff?
I guess I'm doing a pass to see if there's anything that's out of the ordinary. I mean, clearly, I'm expecting there to be a money purse. He's a dwarf, so I'm sure there's some type of hammer on him or axe.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah, we haven't had goblin racism in a while.
We're
so.
Going to get a response on that.
Oh, easy there, Mr. Goblin Talk.
I've changed.
He's changed. Yeah, I'm just trying to see if there's anything that's of interest that's out of the ordinary. I think I don't think I'm there to take.
Okay, so this is a recon.
This is a recon. If there's anything like, what's this?
Okay, there's a in his pockets. You find a very hefty
hammer,
sack of gold. More than the average person would walk around with. This guy's pretty well off.
Mm-hmm.
You find some rolled up receipts. He's not very clean. This seems to be his everyday attire. As you're kind of going through, you notice there's a lot of stains and wear on it. This has been something he's worn for long time. It smells absolutely awful.
Right.
He smells like alcohol and body odor.
Well,
and
when that's happening, I'm definitely taking some gold out of that heavy pouch.
Okay.
If it's that bad, there's going to be something we could do. I'll roll whatever you want me to roll.
Just roll a 20 and we'll say it's something.
That's a 19.
Oh my goodness. Okay, so you can take pretty much all that's in there. It's up to you how much you want to take percentage-wise.
I'll take half.
Okay, you get about 250 gold.
That's it.
Yeah, he's got a fat pouch.
And then I'm going to try and help him up. Like, I think I was like, or at least see if you, like, hey, old timer.
Well, before you do that, you're in his other pocket. He does appear to have the invitation crumpled up and shoved into the breast pocket. And in his left hip pocket, you find what appears to be a legal document that's been shoved into his pocket as well, which has a bunch of music rights from Johnny Lips.
I'll take both of those things.
Okay. And you stash those away. Are you throwing? You don't have the jams part. Imagine you've got pockets in your new fancy tuxedo.
Oh, yeah, I've got pockets on pockets.
Cool. There you go.
I think that technically the Jansport stayed at home.
Yeah, I don't know that you guys brought
it
this
time. Well, it's got Basil in it, right?
Oh, so that means that you have the Jansport on your ridiculous outfit.
Oh, yeah, because you're Basil. I forgot about that.
You're a displacer beast.
Good reminder. And you help this dwarf up, and he's, oh, thank you. Thank you very, very much.
It's fine, Opal. Do you want to come in here and have a seat, and we'll get you a drink?
Yeah. That sounds like my kind of time, you boys. Here for the party.
Yeah, of course. Come help me here, Solo. He's heavy.
Oh, wonderful. And stumbling and bumbling, you guys make your way over to a couch.
Right. Just lay it on down here, fella.
And he, boom, just slumps over the couch, stretching out as far as his little dwarven arms and legs can cover on the couch. And he's, ugh.
Yeah. Whew. So, what are you boys all about?
You said there was a piano in this room?
You guys went to the music room? Yeah, there'd be a piano in the corner.
Is the music room the same as the drawing room? The one immediately to our left?
Yes.
Okay. Then I'm going to go sit down at the piano and let Solo do his thing.
Okay.
You want me to punch him?
I didn't say that out loud. I just he asked a question and I just went over to the piano and was kind of like tinkling a little bit.
Well, Obel D, I am Solo.
Solo, nice to meet you. It's like a musician when they don't play with another band. You know what they call that? A solo act.
Oh, Merrick, you hear that? He thinks I'm a solo act.
And I play a minor chord at that.
Listen, you've got a fantastic ear for music, kid. You could play all the shows. Trust me.
Merrick, you hear that? I could play shows.
And you playing? Who's Merrick? You're really good at playing this piano. I can hear it.
Diminished chords. Diminished in minors for days right now. Very unhappy at the piano.
Moldrak, this Opal Jaw guy seems to be very confused about who's playing the piano and who's talking to him.
Oh yeah. Oh, I'm getting that from over at the piano.
You're picking up what he's putting down. He says, "Well, what are you boys coming to the party with? You got any fun party gifts?"
I'm gonna check my pockets.
What's in your pockets?
Well, I've got this right here. Oh, wait, no, these are yoga pants. I'm not wearing any pockets.
Check the folds of your robes.
Nope, I don't. This is a new robe. Do these have pockets?
This very interesting. I don't see any. I don't know why you're asking me about the pockets. Listen, back, we were on the road. We would go out and we would drink all weekend and all week, and then the days and the nights, and we would drink them all in our mouths, and it would go into our tummies.
Hey, Opal Jaw.
Yeah,
Opal Jaw. Yeah. Hey.
Oh, hey, who are you? When did you get here?
Just a quick question. Do you know whose house this is?
Party's starting.
That's right.
This is the house of Johnny Lips.
This is Johnny Lips' house. Of course it's Johnny Lips.
I'm his manager.
You're his manager. When was the last time?
I manage
when
him.
When was the last time you were sober?
I was what?
Sober.
Don't you dare talk about my mother like that.
I'm not talking about your mother. I'm asking when the last time that you were in touch with reality and not, you know, self-medicating some problem that you have.
Listen,
what?
Friend.
Name?
I would like to tell you a thing about reality.
Uh-huh.
It's all a conspiracy.
How often do you come to the conspiracy party?
The conspiracy. I've enjoyed this party for years. I've been his manager for 22 years, and it's been a wonderful trip the entire time, except for when he went to jail for murder, but that was different.
Who would anyone want to be killing Johnny right now, tonight?
Who's killing Johnny? That seems like a very rude way to treat a host.
Think that someone would want to kill him, and I don't know if that might be you after 22 years of being in the shadows and having to clean up his act. I'm just trying to eliminate suspects here.
That's an excellent point. I would not want to kill him because he makes my money.
That
How much money do you have?
Seven or 12.
I mean, Medic and I've got about that.
That's pretty good, kid. That's pretty good.
I just immediately walk away and walk to the door to see who's at the door.
This guy's
useless. I just want to know who's at the door next.
Okay. And you go and you open up the door and you see coming down the hallway, Clitheby is trying to balance the tray that has these two drinks on it and bringing it out for you with the mug of whatever Mr. Opaljaw had. And he's coming. He says, "Yes, please, I'm coming quickly."
No, let me get the door. You can take care of the drinks, Clitheby. Not a problem. Okay. You see, I dressed up a little bit for this.
Please remember to take the coat. And he walks into
And I open the door and I'm like, "Good evening. Welcome."
And before you see a tall elven woman.
Tell me she's beautiful.
A little bit past her prime, but tall, dark, fair skin, beautiful eyes, ample bosoms, and a long red dress. She goes, "Good evening."
Oh, good evening to you,
madam.
That's
a sultry voice she has, too. Do I hear that?
My name is Daratine Wisteria.
Daratine.
Good evening. Miss Madam Wisteria.
Well, thank you very much.
Let me take your shawl. Please come in out of the rain.
Oh, it's so kind. Please, and I do have this invitation as well.
Yeah, I'll be taking that. And I just quickly glance at it, and I fold it in with now the three invitations that I have collected.
Got the invitation.
In the land of no invitations, Merrick is king.
And so I take her shawl. I'm like, "And please allow me to tell you, you look absolutely radiant tonight. Red is a perfect color for your skin tone. If you'd like to join the others, they're in the music room, and Clitheby will be getting you a drink shortly."
Oh, honey, that's so kind
Actually,
of you.
Could
I
take your order? Is there anything that you'd like to drink?
A sweet gin fizz, please.
Sweet gin fizz, right away, ma'am.
Apparently fizzes are on the mind. That's because I'm drinking.
Is that because
refresh.
I have an orange fizz and he's got a gin and you're just like, "Sweet gin fizz."
I'm just throwing fizzes.
Hey everyone, Justin here with your mid-episode break. Want to say thank you to all of you for staying with us as we get close to our one-year anniversary. Very exciting. And always a big shout-out to Molly Doan for our cover art and RGB the band for our mid-episode and outro music. Let's get back to the show.
Okay, so I am now like in full... Okay, let's see. Now I'm going to do recon.
You're part of the help?
I'm reconning as part of the help right now. I need to see where the cloak room is.
Are you trying to...
get more information?
Are you trying to just guess where this thing is?
Well, I know it's in the direction of like...
The Clitheby thing? All right.
I mean, I feel like there's only... How many doors are in this grand hallway?
Give me an investigation check. There's a couple. There is a couple.
Investigation is a 17.
Okay. And you saw out of the corner of your eye before when Clitheby was heading down the hall the first time, you saw where he went and kind of turned off right before turning into to go to the kitchen. And so you have a good idea that it's down at the end of the hall on the right-hand side. And you go and it's just kind of underneath where the stairs start to, the grand staircase starts to ascend. And so you go and you look back there and there's a small coat closet.
I want to dive all the way in and do a quick investigation for any type of hidden or trapdoors.
Okay.
Because I'm a
Go
rogue.
Ahead and give it to me.
That's what rogues do. 16.
There is a panel in the back of this closet that is strangely loose, but as you touch it, there's a spell that illuminates the edges of this back panel.
Got it. I leave it. I just make a little mental note.
As soon as you take your hands off, the spell drops away again.
Great.
Roll... give me a history check.
Just a 12.
Okay. You know of this type of spell. It's a protective spell, not an offensive spell. It wouldn't be hurtful to you. You can't exactly remember what the function of it usually is.
Okay.
But there's usually it's like you have to do something to help it do its thing, and then you get past it.
Right. I'm going to leave that, and then I am now looking for where the bar is.
Okay.
And if you want to smash cut, you can smash cut to the dribble
I think so.
That's happening.
And in the drawing room on the couch, Solo and Opaljaw sitting there. Just so if then, well, I pulled up my pants. I said it's time to get out of this cookie stand.
Hey, that's a great story.
You're a great story.
Hey,
Thank you.
You're very welcome. And Clidby comes in and says, "Is it for you, Master Solo?"
Oh, is this my orange fizz? Thank you.
Enjoy, enjoy. Yes, of course. And Mr. Oprah, of course, here's your thing. Thank you. This is my mug. Oh, look who it is. And as he looks over Clidby's shoulder, seeing Daratine Wisteria, and she goes, "Oh, Moldrak, you old fool." That's not her voice.
Just think Southern Belle. It'll come back to you.
I do declare. Moldrak,
you, that's what I got to do. Every time she just got to say, "I do declare."
Everyone needs a trigger. Moldrak. Everyone needs a trigger.
Moldrak Opaljaw, you incorrigible beast, you.
And I look back at him.
You're a safe for sore eyes.
And I look back at her.
I haven't seen you in so long. It's been much too short a time.
And what's his response?
And you're a big jerk sometimes, and I don't miss you.
Oh.
Except for when I kissed you after the show.
Oh, and I look at her.
She kind of scoffingly laughs at Moldrak. Oh, please. Like I would ever.
Am I interrupting?
Oh, honey. Oh, wonderful. And your name is?
I'm Solo de Hillthorpe.
Solo, a pleasure to meet you.
I took down Myron Mike Tyson.
Who's Myron Mike Tyson?
I don't know anymore. I took him down.
I do feel like I'm going a little bit Harry Carey. My head's
too bobbly. Hey, if you're a hot dog, would you eat yourself? Because I know I would.
The moon was made of spare ribs. Would you eat it? And of course, darling, it's wonderful, wonderful to meet you.
Hey, it's nice to meet you, diddledy-wistie.
Diddledine Wisteria.
I've been called worse by far worse men.
Hey.
Don't worry your pretty little head about it.
Hey, I'm not. You want some of this orange fizz?
I do believe I've the other server, the new one, is fetching me something else.
There's already a new servant. I am missing out on everything.
I haven't seen. There's no new help here. What is going on?
I walk back in with a gin fizz on a silver tray. And I've got a little white towel.
I'm going to need two rolls. One roll to see if you can find the kitchen. Two to see how good that gin fizz is.
If I can find the kitchen.
Yeah, so you got advantage on the kitchen because you smelled it. And we know that there's pungent smells going on.
Great. And that's investigation, right? 15,
yep, because you know what you're looking
15
for.
15 to find the kitchen.
Perfect. You're fine. You're in. You find. You go through a couple cupboards. Eventually, you find a few ingredients. What's in a gin fizz?
Oh, we're doing this old chestnut again? Do you remember?
I don't, off the top of my head, I don't know what's
no,
in a gin
fizz.
No,
but do you remember when you made us come up with that cocktail in that other campaign?
Yeah, wasn't that great?
That was awesome.
Those were the days.
I thought that's what we were about to do. Not for the viewers, though. This is just
no,
us.
No, it's a tough one to do for viewers.
This is just us. Well, just us. I'll tell you what. What goes in a gin fizz is...
Give me a history check.
Can I just mix the drink? Because yeah, I rolled... I roll really well.
What did you roll?
I got a 19 on the dice. Because I thought that's
check?
What you... No, I thought you were going to say, now you're in the kitchen, you got the stuff, make the drink.
Yeah, that's what that was for. Is if you knew like historically, got you would have known what it was. You worked in a bar, so you probably had advantage on it too.
Yeah, I did back in the day at Herbival with Barovrov, also known
as
Haiti.
Problem. This is one of the better gin fizzes. It's excellent garnish work. Yes. You find the straws too. You're about to leave without one. You find one on your way out. It's
definitely got a lime wedge.
Yep. The ice cubes are the kind, you know, when they freeze them just right and they're clear all the way through. You find some of those in the freezer, the magical freezer ice box. That's
yes
the one.
And. Yes and.
Yes and. And you bring it back and we smash cut in and Justin, you're here. Do you have the little towel? Did you snag one of those little towels for your arm?
I snagged one of those towels.
To match could be used quite thoroughly.
Madame Wisteria, your gin fizz.
What is you doing? Thank you very much, child. That's so sweet of you.
And I look at Clidby.
I don't remember you.
Clidby, come with me to the hallway. It's fine. Come on.
Back in paddock.
Very good, very good, sir. Very good, 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 very good.
Solo, enjoy our guests. I'll be right back.
Enjoy our guests. Oh, all right, Merrick.
Step out into the hallway with Clivby.
And Clivby follows you. Yes, yes, sir. What are you doing?
I was helping you out. You asked me to get the door. Your hands were full.
Oh, but I want to make sure you enjoy your evening.
Oh, trust me, I'm not one for idle chatter, and Solo is really the social butterfly out of the two of us. Is there anything else that I could maybe help you with?
Do you work with Mr. Solo?
Yes, we are partners. No, business associates. Yes, we're teammates. We're actually...
Of course.
You might have heard of us. We're actually half party. No? Nothing?
Never.
Never once.
Never heard, not even a little bit.
Never. HP?
Get Harry Potter, the wizard.
No, that's copyright.
That's copyright infringement.
Is what that is. No, we're...
It's trouble.
We're half party. Anyway, I just didn't know how many more guests we should... Like, is there something we should do? That Opal Slackjaw is quite a character.
He's a slackjaw. I call him that sometimes. Mole-jack. Never to his face.
Mole-jack, right. Anyway, I know where the cloakroom is. I know where the bar is. So if you need, you know, when the next one comes or not.
It's quite appreciated if you would like to come in. I believe we're about ready to sit down.
Right.
We do have one more guest, but it appears they're running a little behind.
So we should maybe move the party to the dining room.
I believe that would be appropriate at this juncture.
What door is that on?
If we follow the hallway down here, we go down around just to the left here, the third door left. Down just
would
before
like
the staircase.
Okay, I'll bring the others.
Excellent, thank you. I'm off to the kitchen to go and find to make sure the preparations are properly prepared.
Give the chef my regards.
Clithby, Merrick gives his regards.
Oh, that's funny. You're very funny, Clithby.
Thank you very much.
That's very good. All right, I'll get them. We'll see you soon.
Roll a perception check.
I got a 12.
Okay. And you see Clidby walking down the hallway. He has a little bit of a shorter gait, being an older guy. He's not quite, you know, old man walking, but halfway there.
Gotcha.
And back in the room.
And that's when I was running across the trees, and I dove right off, and I punched the big floating eyeball.
And... Dirty Mysterious. Oh my goodness! What a tale of heroics! I do declare.
I thought so too.
And Mordray. That sounds like.
Oh!
That's it. Saved it.
That's good. Do you maybe want to go to the gentleman's water closet with me?
I need a perception check from Solo, please.
That is a 19.
Thank God one of us is rolling well.
As you saw Merrick and Clithby out in the hallway, you saw Daratine Wisteria actually watching them talking quite intently. She was half paying attention to what you were saying, but a good majority of her attention was being paid to the gentleman out in the hall. And as Merrick comes back in, you guys all see, yes, of course, everyone's here, and I can just...
Just get real drunk again, because I got to get back to that voice. Sorry about that. I got a little distracted, and I went to the wrong voice. Clidby kind of came in for a second, but he's in the kitchen.
Let's like say this is a tour.
And then I look back at Daratine Wisteria.
Oh, my goodness. I just thought
Come
that...
here, Mojack. Solo, down to the left is where we need to escort Madame Wisteria to the dining room.
Are you walking with Miss Wisteria? Solo?
Oh, yes. So, Daratine.
Yes, Miss Solo.
Hey, lean in real quick.
Of course.
Why were you watching Merrick? Do you have the hots for him?
Oh, no. He is a dashingly handsome young man. No, I'm just interested. I must confess, I am a bit of a gossip. I do enjoy hearing certain risque details.
Oh, did you hear anything cool?
Not particularly. They were a bit too far away, and your story was far too enthralling for me to completely divert my attentions.
Well, that's a bummer, you know, because I really like hearing, you know, risky details.
Oh, risky details. I do believe that you are a specialist in those details.
Aye. Do you have any risky details for me?
Oh, regarding what, my good man?
I mean, anything. You know, let's start off, like, on a one, and let's see where we go.
Did you know that if you stand on the moon,
In the sunny side, you will always see the sun. It will never set.
Oh, now that is some risky details.
I do believe that is very risky, because if you were to stand on that moon, as everyone knows, it would be very difficult because you cannot breathe the air.
You're so mysterious, Wisteria.
Roll a perception check.
Yeah, that's a six.
She puts you very much at ease. Like, you're very comfortable talking to her. She's very good at the small talk stuff, which is, you know, betrayed by my lack of skill there, but...
You're so easy to talk to.
I do appreciate that. And you make it so easy.
I feel like we've known each other, like, all our lives.
For quite some time, I do believe.
Is there something here?
There just might be. And she puts a gentle hand on your shoulder. She's probably, like, 1.5 times as tall as you. I mean, I'm sorry.
Okay, sweet.
She's, like, 6 feet tall.
All right. Insight check.
Go for it.
There's my 19.
19, all right. While she does do this, you get the feeling that she has practiced in this art of getting what she wants through being very nice to men.
And I giggle back at her. Then
She enjoys it quite a bit. And you guys make your way down the hall to the dining room. The dining room is set beautifully. There are several plates stacked up on each place setting bowls. There are numbers of spoons and forks and knives all arranged perfectly in this aesthetically pleasing arrangement. There, in the middle of the table, there is this wonderful, wonderful setting piece full of flowers and dried whatchamacallits and other beautiful things. A large chandelier with dripping candles that appear to be caught in tiny cups and flowing into a larger candle that's all in the middle. It's a beautifully ornate crystal chandelier that sits above the table here. And then up above, there's this actually like almost like a gallery up above that could view this might actually really be a dance hall that has the table put in it currently. Up on top in the gallery in the corner, there's a small string quartet that is playing some soft music in the background. It's lovely ambiance here, and a crackling fire at the end of the room with this massive, massive, tall fireplace.
Would I know what the music is that they're playing?
Roll history check.
Heard this sonnet before or whatever?
Yeah, this string quartet sonnets.
Yeah, that's an 18.
Nice. Yeah, you've definitely heard it before. It's When the Sparrow Casts the Fireball. It's a little bit of a jazzy number. It's about a sparrow who learned how to be a wizard but they've put a cooler tone on it, so it's not so raucous.
Not so
and party
old school,
gritty.
Right? You know,
right?
Not...
It's a very relaxed feeling to it. And as you guys prepare, you find your seats. Everyone has a nameplate. You do see that at the head of the table, there's one that says Johnny Lips. The one who appears not to be there as of yet is Martin Kahn, the one member of this party that you have not met yet. All of a sudden, you hear from the hallway. Once more. Where you have the beautiful gargoyle sound alerting you to someone being at the door.
Hi, hi.
A few moments later, from up in the gallery, you see a door open. And you look up over behind your chairs, and you see up there a familiar figure. And as he opens the gate that would normally be protecting people from falling off of the gallery, he floats down, having cast a slow fall spell on himself.
Nice.
And he winks at you guys, and you recognize Sisk. He goes, "Hey, boys.
Sisky!
How's it going? Welcome to the party.
Sisk! That's so dope. I cherish that picture you got us.
Hey, I'm glad you like it.
That painting was so good. I keep it with Basil. Oh, by the way, this is Basil.
Oh my god, hey, that's a pretty cool little cat. Does he talk?
Yeah, watch. Meow. Look at that.
Nails.
So
wow,
cool.
That's pretty sweet.
Hi.
Awesome. Hey, I'm really glad you guys can make it. He's reaching out, shaking hands.
Oh, yeah, no, not a problem.
And Sisk reaches out to you and he says, hey, Merrick, I'm so glad that you can make it. I really, really appreciate you guys coming.
Hi,
and he leans in a little bit closer and he goes, I know that you guys are here, so just keep an eye out, okay? I'm really, I know it's weird, but it's really, I trust you guys.
Oh, and I wink at Sisk.
And he winks back and you hear a ding because he rolled a 19. Nice.
I just give him a little shoulder squeeze. I'm like, thanks for having us over. It's a very lovely home.
And as you do, he actually puts his hand on your arm and says, thank you. It feels this very warm moment.
Oh, in the arms of...
And then from the hallway, you hear,
excuse me, I do believe that I, Mr. Martin Conn, am awaited.
And this guy, who is a shorter, stockier, halfling kind of person with he's got a very square shaped beard. He's got an oiled hair brushed over the side. This huge high cape that kind of almost like the Dracula kind of cape. A beautiful dark black suit with a red lining in it. And a cane that he carries in his hand and beautiful shiny black shoes.
He goes, yeah. Martin Conn.
I'm Solo de Hillthorpe, Martin.
Yeah, nice cape.
Nice to meet you, boys. Nice to meet you.
I see you, like me, are a man of fashion.
That I am. That I am. Fashion, literature, the high arts.
I do a twirl for him.
Lovely little man. Lovely, lovely.
He's the same size as you are.
He's maybe the same size vertically or horizontally. Very much not.
Okay, he's rotund.
He's put on a few
portly
pounds. Yeah,
portly.
He enjoys indulging in those finer things.
Portly.
Yeah.
And like he can, I want him to notice. I'm gonna do an ab check, you know, because I just got the robes, right?
Yep. You're
so
doing
like
a
semi.
Ab check.
Yeah, I'm doing an ab check. You know, maybe from across the way, there could be like a unconscious
side ab.
Intimidation check.
Side ab.
Mm. Okay, give me a rippling ab check.
Oh god, I dropped that one. That one's on the floor.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
The abs are on the floor.
The abs are on the floor. That's a 15 on the dice.
15 on the dice. And he doesn't quite appear shaken, but it does give him pause.
Aye.
And he moves around to his seat and he bows to Wisteria and kisses her hand and sits down, shakes Sisk's hand as well. And he actually refers to him as Sisk.
Okay, round table or square table?
It is a square table. Long, okay. Not long.
Sisk at the head of the table?
Sisk is at the head of the table, yeah.
Okay, so just give me the seating chart.
And Johnny Lips is
like,
seat.
Who sits where? Johnny Lips is Sisk.
Sisk is Johnny Lips.
Right, he's at the head. Seated at the right hand of Lips.
That would be you and then Solo.
And then
on that side.
Where's Slackjaw?
Slackjaw would be across from you and down one.
So across from Solo.
Across from me.
Yep.
And then Wisteria is on Johnny Lips' left.
Correct.
And then where's Martin Conn?
Foot of the table.
So he is exactly opposite of Sisky Poo.
Circle gets a square.
Just want to say this, seeing as, because we've seated now, right? We're ready?
Mm-hmm.
I am prepared to throw myself in front of anything at any time. Like, I'm like, okay, I'm here at the right hand of Lips, and
you're waiting to...
I'm waiting for my Kevin Costner moment is what I'm waiting for.
Okay.
Just so you know, like, so, like, I'm on that edge. I'm dialed in the rogue... perception things. I'm just saying.
Right, you are not party time rogue.
No, I'm
you
not
are...
party time rogue. I'm business time rogue. I was here hired to do a job, 5,000 gold pieces each.
You are on
and
guard.
Now that I know it's Sisk, I'm even more like.
There's a loyalty component. Yeah,
and while he's focused, I'm to be like, and Merrick, you remember when we did that one thing?
Yeah, of course I remember that one thing.
And Sisk reaches out with both hands, says, "Lady and gentlemen." Thank you so much for coming to my dinner. I do greatly appreciate the time it takes and the journey that you have all taken to get here. And as he reaches that pause, you hear clunk, 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 clunk from the door as you see Clidby wheeling in a cart full of the salads, a bunch of salads that are on these plates. Clunk, 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 clunk.
Sorry, sir. And then you hear, from the door. And he goes, we must have another guest. I'll go see who it is.
And Clidby begins to walk back down the hallway.
I hit Solo, and I'm like, I give him like the wink for that, and I just, Clippy, I'll help you with the door. And I get up, and I go with him.
Oh, sorry. Oh, Merrick, yes, please, please, please do. Go get that. And Merrick,
Like on Cliffby's tails as he goes out the door, but like I have like I'm hit solo. Hopefully he gets it.
And Sisk,
Why did he hit me?
Why are you hit? Ow!
Ow, medic.
And Sisk continues talking about how there's only one life to live, and doing the best with your time here on the Earths, and you should enjoy your time and help others and be kind and all this other stuff.
That's how I live. I'm really into his story. And putting it in my shoes.
He gets to the one point where he says, and then there's always the story of redemption, a very important story indeed, such as the one I myself have lived.
After
the murder and my time in jail and release, and then I've spent the rest of my life atoning for that mistake.
By the way, the murder... Who'd you murder?
I'm Solo, I appreciate it. If you could just let me finish here, I'd just like to do a welcome.
Oh, no,
thing.
Yes, I'm so sorry. Everybody in
to this.
And I kind of like, I smack Martin like
you hear from the hallway,
so,
like,
this is so
now
weird.
You know how I feel.
Smash cut to Clithby and Merrick walking down the hallway. And Clithby goes, I don't know who else we could expect being here.
It
this
does seem a bit odd, doesn't it?
List.
In the rainy, stormy night, invitation-only party, that sort of thing.
Yeah. And you...
I've got my white towel back on.
You got the white towel, you ready?
Right, like whatever...
Doing like a dual open the door thing?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, like...
Oh, it's so
great. It's like when we used to play beer pong back to back, and I had to learn how to play left-handed. Yeah.
And as the doors open out into the world, as soon as you push out, you see someone was leaning on the door and they fall directly backwards.
I understand that feeling.
Flump, 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 flump. And tumble down the few small, a few large stairs.
Oh, tipsy tumbles there.
Into the muddy water.
Cliffby, are you going to be...
And do not move. Cliffby, oh my goodness, they don't look so well.
Cliffby, are you going to go get...
Clisby starts to make his way
down
the stairs.
Oh, you're old. You're super old. Just keep the doors open.
Roll perception check. I guess you roll an investigation check. You're going to figure this one out pretty quick.
Oh, yes. Redemption, thy name is Natural 20. the first one of the night for me.
This body. Because it's a body.
Shit.
Not a living one. Is a dead man. You see what appears to be a older
man. So did I just waste a natural 20 on a very obvious dead person?
Yes, you did.
Sweet, sweet, sweet.
If you'd let me continue, I could give you some
your
20-ness on this.
Sorry.
I've got a little spice to throw on that. You notice that this man has a tattoo on his arm. And it's the same tattoo... Or the same design that you saw on the cuff of Moldrek Opaljaw's jean jacket. And you notice that this man's head was hit very hard with a very large blunt object.
Got it.
And he died on the steps.